us. Revelation 18 is a reminder of that. Now, Babylon, that's the city of this world, the people of this world, will fall. Though it looks very great and impressive and powerful and rich, and that's where the good life is now, that's what it appears. It's not true. It's a mirage. It's a facade. Revelation 18, page 1932. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great! She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen. I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe! Woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power! In one hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe! Woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off when they see the smoke of her burning. They will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this great city?' They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, 'Woe! Woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In one hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you.' Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, 'With such violence the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth." This is God's word. May he edify us by it today. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day after. Revelation 17, 18, and 19 are the day after the day of judgment in prophecy. And the day after is pictured with a comparison of two women, you remember, in the last five chapters of Revelation. The day after shows the great prostitute, Babylon the Great. That's the personified woman, the woman who personifies the people of this world who don't want to worship God and who make love with this world, who are in a love affair with this world and its riches and its pleasures and its amusements and its toys and its games and its sports and so on. Chapter 17 shows her character. Chapter 18 is her funeral. And chapter 19 is the celebration of the church over the destruction of the kingdom of Satan. Then the last three chapters are the other woman, the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the church, and her glory and her victory and her joy and her eternal blessedness. This is the day after the day of judgment. And the angel says to John, "Come, I will show you the punishment, remember, of the great prostitute, Babylon. I will show you what hell looks like for the wicked, for Satan and all his followers." And Jesus' call in this chapter is very clear. Come out of her, my people. You do not want to throw in your lot with this prostitute. She looks good and glamorous now, but look here where she's going to end up. You really want that for your destiny? Is that how you want your life to end? That's the challenge here. So we're at her funeral following the day of judgment, and we see the mystery of her character in 17. And now in chapter 18, the chapter begins with her wreckage, her fall, and then talks about her people weeping over their loss, and then how she becomes a wilderness wasteland. And finally, I want to go back to the main point, the call and warning to the church to come out of her. We look at the wreckage first, then the weeping, and then the wasteland, and then the warning to us. First, her wreckage. There in chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, an angel shouts in a mighty voice for everyone to hear, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who once was the joy of the whole earth from a worldly perspective, whose wealth and pleasures got rave reviews from the nations, from the kings, from the merchants. Look how Wall Street is doing. She's featured in Fortune 500 and Forbes magazine at the top every month, year after year after year. She can never fall." They drank deeply from the good life she has to offer, her excessive luxuries. And now here she is in her ruins, a demon-infested desert of evil spirits and buzzards and vultures. That's what she becomes. What a wreckage for a city so great. Again, it's a symbolic city, representing all the peoples of the world, as the bride is the symbolic city, Jerusalem, the church, representing all the saints across the world. This is a symbolic city, and her judgment will come as a complete shock to the world. Nobody thought it would happen. Nobody thought it would happen. That is, those who belong to her. She's Babylon the Great. She's the invincible Titanic. She's so strong and wealthy that she believes she's God. Look at her boast in verse 7. "I sit as queen. I'm not a widow. I will never mourn. Death will never come to me." That's her boast. "I am everlasting. I am invincible. I am unsinkable. The spirit of the Tower of Babel is here. Who needs God? We'll do it ourselves and make a name for ourselves, and we are forever." Who needs God when you're so rich and having so much fun? And so Babylon says, "This will never end. No one can take us down. We are forever. We have the best of everything." That's the way the world thinks about itself. The economy is booming. Life is great. This is the best there is, and it's never going to end, except maybe I can get more and have more fun, and then it'll get better. If there is a God, he can't touch us. You need to cash in on this life. And what are you doing, you disciple of Christ? Spending your energies and raising your children in the fear of the Lord. You could have more vacations, a better vehicle. What are you doing, reaching out your hand to the poor and giving them money and being so worried about them? I give a little bit, but you could have so much better for yourself and drink more deeply of the fun and pleasures of this world. Come on, you disciple of Christ. Babylon's where it's at. You can have it so much better here if you didn't be so pie in the sky and keep living for the world that is to come. That's what Paul says to the Thessalonians. While the world is saying peace and safety, everything's good, 1 Thessalonians 5, judgment will shock her like a thief in the night. And that's the emphasis in Revelation 18. In one day, in one hour, she will fall. In one day, all her stuff at Stuff Mart will be gone. Like the markets crashed in 2008. And in a day, people lost billions of dollars and of the wealth that was going to last forever. Well, the fall of this world's kingdom will happen even while she's bragging that she's wealthy and can never fall. Death will never, I will never mourn. Brothers and sisters, the entire system of this world is going to fall, and it's going to fall fast. It's a house of cards. It's a palace of paper. It's coming down. So don't fall for its lies. Don't be taken in by its boasts. Don't be duped by its promises. It's not going to be forever. And when she perishes, those who belong to her will perish with her. They'll have nothing to stand on. It's a house built on sand. And when the storm of judgment comes, it cannot stand. Now notice there, it says in verses 6 and 7 about giving back to her as she has given and paying her back double for what she has done. And maybe you think that this is not quite fair, that God is going to give Babylon, the kingdom of this world, double punishment for her crimes. What does that mean? Does that mean God is unjust? That he's going to give her twice as much punishment as she deserves? No, it doesn't mean that. Look back at verse 6. Give back to her as she has given. And then mix her a double portion from her own cup. And give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. It will be full justice. God will give her all that she deserves, no more. But here's the point. She's done a double dose of crimes against God and so deserves a double punishment. And that's what she'll get. God is so patient with the world right now for the sake of the gospel, because he wants the gospel to go forward to his enemies and save them. He puts up with so many crimes, so much pride and boasting, so much arrogance, so much God ignoring, God insulting, blasphemy, people hating him, people blaming him, people mocking him, people just plain ignoring him or forgetting him or not taking time to worship him. Her sins are piled high to heaven, verse 5. But in one day, when his appointed day comes, the whole thing will collapse in a moment, and God will remember her crimes and give her back what she has given. And then everybody who belongs to this world system and believes in it and is clinging to her idols will go down with it. The hymn says, and all my hope on God is founded. The hymn says, human pride and earthly glory, sword and crown betray all trust. What our care and toil establish, tower and temple fall to dust. But God's power, hour by hour, is my temple and my tower. Some of you might be old enough to remember Hotel California by the Eagles. Seems like a fun song, but it's a song of darkness. That all the fun we're having is a trap and a prison that you can't escape, and it's going to lead to nothing. Let me read a portion of that song. Plenty of room at the Hotel California. Any time of year, you can find it here. Her mind is Tiffany twisted. She's got the Mercedes Benz. She's got a lot of pretty, pretty boys that she calls friends. How they dance in the courtyard. Sweet number summer sweat. Some dance to remember, some dance to forget. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the night man. We're programmed to receive. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. That's how great her lure is. How often Jesus warned us against the deceitfulness of wealth and the lure of pleasures and the false promise of alcohol. Don't go there. She gets a tight grip on you and doesn't let you go. Her clutch is so strong. I think of the rich young ruler who just couldn't follow Jesus because it meant letting go of this world, which he loved so much, and he couldn't bear to do without it. There's so many prisoners of a high life, and they feel trapped in her walls with no way out and so afraid of what's going to happen to them when they let go of their idols, even though their idols are killing them. That's the irrationality of sin. But it will come to nothing and fast. And the sound of weeping and wailing will be tremendous. We see that secondly, her weeping, verses 9 through 19. The world will weep and mourn over the destruction of the world that they loved and they lived for. Babylon the Great, verse 18. Was there ever a city like that great city? The sailors and the shipmasters will say. They just can't believe that her wealth and her luxuries and her fun and her sex and her immorality would disappear. Their sex god, their money god, their fame god, their technology god, their science god, their Wall Street god, their fashion gods would fail them. And that their fun would ever end. They can't imagine that. Notice how they mourn in three groups, verses 9 and 10, the kings of the earth. Their power is taken away. Then in verses 11 through 17, the merchants mourn. Because their wealth, their revenues are taken away. Note the long list of merchandise, of cargoes, verses 12 through 13. Now the shops are closed up. Nothing's being sold. They're also selling the bodies and souls of men. This is slavery. Make big money on that. Now it's gone. And then there's the sea captains and sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, verses 17b through 19. That's the labor sector. So you have the political sector, you have the business sector, and now you have the labor and service sector. Their income has been taken away. They're all in mourning. And each of these three sections ends with the same refrain. In 1 hour, your doom has come. This is exactly the weeping and gnashing of teeth that Jesus spoke about so often. That when the wicked trust in this world's wealth and pleasures, pursue the golden pot at the end of the rainbow and run after it. And they get there and finally they realize it's a hellhole. Then they will weep and gnash their teeth. The eternal pain and suffering and regrets of hell. Relentless pain of body and soul and mind and emotion. A life haunted by the complete absence of God's kindness and goodness and the presence of his wrath through angry demons, cruel people, and inner torments. Everything you hope for from that great city shatters and comes to nothing. All your dreams destroyed. You spent a whole life running after it. Jesus once said that, "Woe to those who laugh now, you will weep later." Well, brothers and sisters, we're called to contrast this weeping and lamenting and woe in chapter 18 with 19 and 21. With the pure joy and feasting and happiness of life with God in heaven. What a total, absolute difference. What Christ has for his people compared to what Satan has for his people. Satan eats. He eats his children. Jesus rescues and feeds and blesses his children. And the call to us is, where is your hope founded? What are your dreams made of? What do you wake up wanting? Is Jesus a marginal thing for you? We talked about last time. Or is it all about him for you? And today is for him too. Do you love to be his kingdom, his family, his church? And are you turning away from the idols of this world that want to destroy you and waiting, longing for the feast that's coming in the world to come? Well, let's see, thirdly, the wasteland. The wasteland that's coming to Babylon, the city of this world, verses 21 through 23, the last part of the chapter. Here we get a picture of what hell is like. Babylon's destiny, after living for the weekend, for the party, for the Emmy Awards, for luxury, for the finest foods and clothing, for stuff, for gaming, for laughter, for the world's applause, spending a lifetime in front of the camera, seeking the celebrity spot, living for yourself, building your own persona, being this amazing person called me. Then what? What will come of all this glitz and glamour and booze and bikes and women and wealth? Look at verse 22. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No music in hell. No joy. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. No industry. No purpose. No point. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. No light. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. No joy, no happiness, no friendship, no relationship. That's hell. Forever. It's not like we're going through a little recession and then the good times are going to roll again. It'll never come again. Life in hell is the constant death of misery, emptiness, and completely hollowed out human beings' anguish. Life in hell is like a burned out street in the city of Aleppo, where all the shops are closed and life is shattered, and it'll never change. It's not only the presence of torment, it's the absence of every good thing. And that's terrifying. I wept this week as I thought of people, rather than putting their hope in Jesus, ending up in this, because Jesus didn't matter that much to them. Remember what Jesus said to the rich man who lived for himself and refused to live for God and help the poor man at his gate? You had your good times on earth, he said. All that's left for you now is anguish. You've had your good times. Now they're over forever. Former actress and model Jessica Landon, who just about destroyed her life in sexual promiscuity and vodka, and her skin was rotting as she lay in her own feces and urine. The taste of what's coming for the wicked if they don't repent? She wrote this: every day young girls move to L.A., Los Angeles, searching for a glitzy and glamorous life in Hollywood, thinking they will be happier, more fulfilled, and achieve success. Unfortunately, the reality is that Hollywood is full of spiritually starved, insecure, and lost human beings on a perpetual search for more, paradoxically leading to feeling like less of a person and fully degraded, she said. That's now in Babylon, and it'll be infinitely worse in the life to come unless we turn to God. And the good news of all of Scripture is any inhabitant of Babylon now who's in love with this world, and whose dreams are earthly and whose hopes are cash and sex and booze and amusement, if you turn to the Lord God now, His patience will receive you with open arms. He'll wash away the sins and the filth that cover your life. He'll give you to His Son, Jesus Christ, and make you a new creation. And though life will not be always easy when you follow Christ, it will be good. And the future inheritance, glorious. It's worth it. And that's what we see lastly is our warning. God's warning for us. This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ to His church. See, what's His message to us here in this horrible future reality of Babylon's fall? The demise of the pleasure-pumped and pleasure-mad prostitute. Here's the reality. This Babylon, whose one day will become this, now wants you to make her your dwelling place and to walk into the prison of her so-called good life, Hotel California. But Jesus' word to us is found in verse 4. My people, come out of her so that you will not share in her sins and you will not receive any of her plagues. Come out of her. Separate from her filth and her sins and her dreams and her goals and her worship and her idols. That call to separate is not a call to live in a segregated community all by ourselves. It's not a call to isolation. No, says Paul, Philippians 2, you're called to live as children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Among whom? Stay there, says God. Remember what Jesus said to the church of Pergamum? I know where you live, where Satan's throne is, where Satan lives. That's where you live, church. And He's not saying, get out of there fast. He's saying, hold fast to my witness there where Satan lives. Hold fast to my name. Be like that martyr, Antipas, my faithful witness. Come out of her. Don't drink from her cup is what it means. Don't be deceived by her lies. Don't fall for her view of what makes a person truly full and truly happy. No, it's not about what pays best when you're looking for a job or thinking about a career. That's how Babylon thinks. It's about how you can serve the Lord the most. And if he makes you wealthy by it, praise the Lord. Don't put your trust in that wealth. Use it for his kingdom. And if you're forever on the low income scale because of it, praise the Lord that you get to serve him that way. Your best life is not now. Joel Osteen's book is a lie. Your best life now. The best is to come. And you say, well, how can that make us an impact in this world if we're otherworldly and we're focused on Christ and on the world to come? How can you be an impact then? C.S. Lewis said it right. Those who make the greatest impact on this world now are those who are living here every day in search of the world to come. Because then we show the true value of life is not money, but God. Is not physical fitness, but God. Is not intellectual prowess, but God. Is not power, but God. Is not sex, but God. Don't drink from her cup. Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears on the last day, you'll also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3. Set your hearts above where Christ is, because that's where the glory is. And then you'll be the most relevant here. You'll be salt and light as you live that way in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation who knows not God. And your life will be alluring to those who are stuck in the prison of Babylon, of the great whore, and need to get out and can't. Then you can say, and I can say, there's a way out of that. It's Jesus Christ. Come out of her. I want to close by reading with you Revelation 21. Could you turn there with me? Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Come out of her and live for this. This is not wasteland. And this is not eternal weeping and lament and wreckage. But look at where your life leads, beloved, through Christ, your Savior. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Beauty. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God. Fellowship with God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Joy. He who is seated on the throne, that's Jesus, said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. May God grant us grace to live the good life now of living for Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Christ, our true inheritance. We know, Lord Jesus, that you are not only the good life in the future, you are the good life now. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain for the believer. Father, we pray that you will use us for your glory by helping us to live counter-cultural lives in this wicked and perverse generation. And to show that there's a far greater life and greater meaning and purpose and deeper joy than living for this world. Oh Lord, give us grace to show that way. And if we're getting caught in the trap of the love affair with this world and its stuff and its pleasures, set us free. Turn our hearts to you. Lord, rescue us. Grant us the grace of repentance. Help us to find a new way that seeks first your kingdom and your righteousness. Go with us, help us, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.